Well, good morning, church. How you guys doing today? Very good. All right. You know, the last several weeks, we've been discussing messages from the kings. And we've met a lot of kings so far. We met King Saul, who was the first king of Israel. We met King David about a month ago, who we all know David as the man after God's own heart. And then last week, we began to meet a man named Solomon, David's own son. And it would seem to me that if we were looking for wisdom or for messages from a king, from one of the ancient kings of Israel, it would seem to me there probably isn't a better place to go than King Solomon. Wouldn't you agree? You know, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, it says this about Solomon. It says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. All the kings of the earth sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. So indeed, there's a great amount of wisdom, a great amount of knowledge, probably a great message that we can get from King Solomon today. But the truth is this, that a lot of the wisdom that we can gather from Solomon, a lot of that did not come from his many accomplishments. Ultimately, Solomon would be remembered as much for his wise successes as he was for his foolish failures. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we come to you again as your people. Lord Jesus, we ask that you will be lifted up, that your name is what reverberates throughout this building. Lord, we ask that from the earth up to the heavens, that you receive our praises. Lord, we thank you for being our God. Lord, this morning, as we get into your word, as we open up this love letter that you've sent us, the Bible, Lord, I pray that it speaks to our hearts. I pray that every word influences our minds. Lord, and that we leave here much, much different than how we came. Lord, that we leave here more in love with you. That we leave here knowing you in a deeper sense. Lord, and for those hearts that are here this morning that don't have a relationship, that we leave here as new creations. Lord, that is my prayer this morning. Lord, and I know that you are faithful and true, and I thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. See, in truth, the story of Solomon, it's a heartbreaking tale. I mean, it's something of legend, but it's absolutely heartbreaking at the same time. See, let's consider how it begins. Solomon was a son of who? King David. Solomon was King David's son, the man after God's own heart. Last week we talked about Solomon. We found out that Solomon, not only was he son of King David, but he was blessed with really supernatural wisdom by God himself. In addition to all that, even though David had wanted to build the temple for God in Jerusalem, it wasn't until Solomon's reign that the temple was actually constructed and dedicated to the Lord. All the kings of the earth, it says here, already traveled to Israel to meet Solomon and to hear about Solomon's wisdom. And they all brought monetary wealth and treasures with them. And it left Israel incredibly wealthy. It was probably the best time in the history of Israel in terms of their influence to the entire world. I mean, Israel was a major player on the world scene. The records seem to indicate throughout the Bible that Solomon received about 25 tons of gold every year from these other kings. 25 tons of gold. That's 50,000 pounds of gold that they brought just to seek audience with and hear the wisdom of King Solomon. The Bible said there was so much silver in Israel at the time that it was considered virtually worthless. There was so much. I mean, Israel was very wealthy. God was blessing Israel through Solomon. God was blessing the people. And even though Solomon's life and his reign began with great wisdom, it began with power, and most importantly, it began with the special anointing of God on his life. As any baseball fan would tell you, success is not determined by how you begin, but it's by how you end. That's what makes success. See, in 1969, the Baltimore Orioles were touted by many as being the finest team in Major League Baseball history. 1969, they won 109 games that year. The most in history. That record stood for 30 years, it stood until 1998. All right, and that team that year, almost in every position had all-stars. Okay, and they were easily picked by everybody who knew anything about baseball to defeat the New York Mets in the World Series. It was a sure win. They had the greatest start in history. They had great beginnings. After the first game of the World Series, it seemed like that was a sure thing. The Orioles beat the Mets easily, 4-1. But four games later, guess what happened? The New York Mets put that ring on their finger. The Miracle Mets, as we come to know them today, put that ring on their finger. Because you see, even though the Orioles had the best start in baseball's history, they weren't successful at the end because they finished weak, because they didn't finish strong. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he said this about the importance of finishing strong. He said this, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. See, the story we're going to hear today about Solomon. Solomon, like the 69 Orioles, fell to a very poor finish. That was the end of his reign was a very, very poor finish. But his reign did not finish poorly because of a bad batting average. You know, Solomon did not, his demise was not due to not having enough strikeouts. It was due to one word, and that word was compromise. That's where Solomon's demise came from, was when the compromises that he made in his life. And today I want to share with you three things. I want to share with you three things this morning that Solomon compromised on in his life. And eventually those things led to his own downfall and the downfall of his kingdom. But more importantly this morning, I want to tell you that those three things are all things that we have the opportunity today to either hold fast to or to compromise ourselves. We have the same choices as King Solomon did some 3,000 years ago. So let's go ahead and begin this morning and take a look at some of the foolish compromises of wise King Solomon. The first one is this. Solomon compromised the very gift that God had given him. The very gift that we spoke about last week that God had supernaturally put upon Solomon's life, Solomon compromised that. What was that? Solomon compromised his wisdom, his own wisdom. See, in God's sovereignty, even before there was a king of Israel, God had set up within his word the requirements for the king, what the king should and should not do. Okay, he spelled them out in Deuteronomy 17, and he said this. He said, when you enter the land your Lord God is giving you and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, let us set a king over us like all the other nations around us, be sure to appoint over you the Lord your God, the man that the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your own brothers. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not a brother Israelite. Okay, we've done all those things, fine. But here we go. The king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself, or make the people return to Egypt to get more for them. For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way again. All right, it's pretty simple, right? God says, when the time comes that you want a king, let me tell you some of the things that the king should be. All right, this is the kind of person he should be, and these are some things that he should not do. All right, now you might be saying to yourself right now, horses, Tim, what's the big deal about horses, right? I'm not 100% sure I follow that requirement. Well, let me give you a little bit of perspective, okay? Up until about the last, what do you think, about 150 years maybe? The horse was the greatest military weapon in the world. Okay, the horse provided an army with not only strength, but with speed. And if you were a king who had thousands of horses or thousands of chariots, okay, you were a mighty king. All right, the nations of the world would fear you because of what you had. But what God was spelling out in Deuteronomy for the kings of Israel is that even though the horse was a spectacular creation of God, even though it was a great piece of handiwork by God, God did not want them to rely upon a horse. Okay? God wanted his people, wanted Israel, to put their faith in God, in the creator of the horse. Okay? So this is something simple, right? This is a very straightforward thing that he's saying, just don't do this. All right? Instead of relying upon the horse, rely upon me. A couple of God's many names and some that we don't use so often anymore, but we really should. Okay? One of them is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Anybody here think the Lord provides? Yeah, absolutely. The Lord provides. Another name of God is El Shaddai, which means the Lord God Almighty. All right, mightier than any horse you could possibly imagine. All right, and that's the point that God was making. It's not about the horse itself. It's about what it represents. And the horse represents that kingdom's reliance upon their own power, upon their own strength. And God said, don't do that. Rely upon me. Okay, rely upon my protection, upon my provision. So let's see, who here wants to bet that Solomon made a good choice? Let me read you about his choice here in 1 Kings chapter 10. Starting in verse 26, it says, Solomon accumulated chariots and horses. Oops. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses, which he kept in the chariot cities and also with him in Jerusalem. Verses 28 and 29 go on to say this. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt, from Kew. The royal merchants purchased them from Kew. They imported a chariot from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and a horse for 150. I mean, come on, man. Are you serious? God just spelled it out so simple. Don't do this. But Solomon's compromising his wisdom. Solomon, for whatever reason, he wanted horses. Okay, so he gathered 12,000 horses. And not only that, but he went to the one place God said, don't go to get them. He went back to Egypt. Sent his people back to Egypt to get them. See, the wise thing for Solomon to do in this case, in fact, in any case, the wise thing would have been to listen to his father David. Let me read to you the last words of David to his son Solomon, okay? I mean, last words are important stuff. This is what you're passing on to your son, to that next generation. Hear what David said to Solomon. He said, I am about to go the way of all the earth. He said, so be strong. Show yourself a man and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. That's pretty good advice, huh? Some of you guys might want to write that down. You know, that's great advice. All right. But instead, Solomon chose to compromise his wisdom. He, in fact, chose to ignore God's law. All right. By seeking after these horses and by sending people back to Egypt to get them. It was just foolish. So returning now to that same piece of scripture, I want to continue here to show you where Solomon was compromising. But continuing out of Deuteronomy, it says, he must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests who are Levites. It is to be with him, be with the king, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God, and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. Now, getting back to Solomon here, okay, it says in the directions, do not take many wives, okay? Do not take many wives, or your heart will be led astray. Now, I know this is like the great wisdom of the Bible, but guys, I could have told you that one already. Okay, I mean, you know, one is plenty, isn't it? No way at all. but let's see what happened with Solomon here in 1 Kings chapter 11. It says, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. Yeah, imagine that. And ladies, I'm not downplaying you guys, believe me. You guys are fine, okay, but we're not equipped for more than one, I can assure you. But, you know, these actions of Solomon, this was not like Solomon was ignorant of what was going on, okay? Solomon wasn't ignorant about the word of God, all right? Remember now, he had reestablished the temple. He had built the temple of God in Jerusalem. He knew all about the law of God. He wasn't ignorant, okay? What this was, though, was in fact open rebellion against God. God said, do this. Solomon said, I don't feel like doing that. I'm going to do this, okay? And when that happens, all right, there's going to be consequences. I mean, when we openly rebel against what the Word of God says, you have to consider, you have to realize that there will be consequences. I mean, let me ask you something. Do you ever hear people who are just generally complainers and they talk about how hard their life is all the time? You guys know anybody like that? Okay, well, I'm one of those people, so if you don't, here I am, okay? But let me tell you something, all right? Not always, but a lot of times, these people, their lives are hard because they ask these questions. They say, what should I do? Where should I go? And the book says exactly what to do, says exactly where to go, says exactly how to do it, and guess what they do? They do the exact opposite. They just completely ignore it. Okay, my life is so tough. Well, let me ask you something. Are you just following the directions? Well, no. No, why would I do that? Well, that's why. That's why. See, the Bible is full with wisdom. It's filled with wisdom. A lot of times that wisdom comes in the form of promises. Promises that God has made to us. All right? So let me just cover a couple of those here with you today. All right, the first one. How many folks here, sometimes you just feel kind of tired? How many people here feel like you got burdens that you're carrying, but you got no idea where to put them down at? Or how to get them off your back? You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we all do, don't we? Matthew 11:28 said this, the words of Jesus himself, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What a great promise. God's essentially saying, come to Jesus, then I will give you rest. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple promise. But you know what we do? We go anywhere else, don't we? We find ourselves going to anybody else, just not him. All right? And then we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why we're so weighed down. Guys, I'm not saying the burdens in life are just going to disappear. But what I'm telling you is that if you're trying to carry them alone, you're putting yourself in a bad way. I mean, that's just foolish. That's not wisdom at all. God said, come to me, and I will give you rest. This morning you're tired, take him up on that promise. Come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. She's going to take him up on it right now. All right. How about this? How about this promise? Does anybody here want to have a bit more confidence in your finances? Okay, just me and Brenda. All right, that's great. All right, everybody else is good. Okay. But let's assume that maybe you're like me, and a lot of times you just feel like you're making it week to week, right? I mean, you're just getting by. You're barely paying the bills. I mean, you know, money comes in and money goes out just as fast, doesn't it? I know you guys are there with me, all right, even if you don't admit it. But here's the promise of God concerning confidence in your finances. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. What's the promise? The promise is, or what's the condition? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Okay, if we will do that, then God will pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. What a great promise. Do we take him up on it? Are we wise, and do we look at the Bible and say, you know what, this is real wisdom. God is promising if I do this, then he will do this. Do we do that? No. Too often we rob God in this area. We hold back because we know better. Guys, you really don't, okay? I don't know any better than God. God put it in the book for a reason. It's wisdom. And we need to stop being so foolish. We need to stop being like Solomon. Stop being so, so very foolish. See, the end of Deuteronomy, that text I read to you said this. It said, if the king would do those things, then he and his descendants would reign a long time over the kingdom in Israel. I mean, if you do these things, you can expect a long and successful reign. All right? But Solomon chose to ignore the directions of God. Okay? He chose to do his own thing. And as I told you before, there are consequences for that. So, now I know I've spent a lot of time already here. I've told you there were three things. I'm not trying to be slow about it. The first one, though, Solomon compromised his wisdom. What we know Solomon the most for, when you say Solomon to anybody, what they're probably going to tell, oh yeah, Solomon the wise. You know, Solomon, the king with all the wisdom. Well, that's the first thing he compromised. All right, but the next one was this. Solomon compromised his walk. All right? See, now, let me clarify here. like many of us, okay, you don't just compromise your walk in one day, okay? You don't go to bed one night and you're in complete close communion with God, and the next morning you wake up and you're like, whoa, where'd he go? Okay? That's not how it happens, okay? You compromise your walk slowly over time, okay? And it always comes in the form of small compromises, doesn't it? Most of us can make a good decision when it's the big thing. But when it's the little ones, and we're like, eh, it's no big deal. No big deal. Just slide that under there. Yeah, Lord, I'll take care of this one. Those small compromises, okay? Essentially, those small steps away from God are what eventually leave us completely outside of His presence. That's when you wake up one day and you're like, how did I get here? It wasn't one big step, okay? It was the small steps along the way. The small compromises along the way. I mean, if you read through the account of Solomon's life, okay, in the book of Kings, the picture is simply startling. When you consider where this man was and how God gifted him and all the things that God was doing with him, and then only 2.5 chapters later, the picture that you see, it is just worlds apart, okay? It's 2.5 chapters and it's about 13 years' time, all right? And I want to share with you just real fast. Here's the picture of Solomon at first as he dedicates the temple, only 7 years into his reign, okay? Just listen to Solomon here, and you tell me if you think he loves the Lord. Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and keep the commands, decrees, and regulations he gave our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God, day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, according to each day's needs, so that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. But your hearts must be fully committed to the Lord our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands as at this time. Is that the words of someone who loves the Lord? Yeah. Absolutely. 7 years into his reign, this is what he spoke directly after building the temple and dedicating it. Solomon loves the Lord. 2 chapters, 13 years later. Okay, let's move forward here. And let's read about Solomon again in Kings 11. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. Small compromises, okay? In the case of Solomon, marrying many women, okay? A small compromise, which he repeated 1,000 times, all right? And it left him well outside of where God wanted him to be. Just a small compromise, though, right? See, today, folks, we could exercise real wisdom, not the kind of wisdom Solomon was using here, but real wisdom. We could exercise that if today we would identify those small compromises. If today we would identify those small habits, let's just be honest, those small sins in our life. If today you would be honest and look inside your own heart and you would find those compromises, those habits, those sins, okay, and then choose God instead. Choose God instead. When they're small, guys, the choice is easy. Okay? But as they continue to mount up, all of a sudden you're going to wake up one day and that choice is very, very difficult. Okay? But you know what they are. They're different in every heart in this room. Okay? Where is it in your own life that you have compromised? Just a small compromise. Just a small sin. Okay? It has devastating effects on your life, though. Okay? And over time, it won't just go away. over time, that one compromise becomes many, and you find yourself outside of God's will. Genesis 4:7, the Lord speaking to Cain, he said this, and it's so true for us today. All right, sin, even little sin, all right, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. But you must master it. Guys, sin is never going to have enough of you until it completely destroys you. Okay? It's never just going to take that little part of you and be content. Sin will continue to eat at you until there's nothing left. So we talked a little bit about how Solomon compromised his wisdom. We've talked about how Solomon compromised his walk. All right, the final one this morning I want to share with you is that Solomon compromised his witness. As the king of Israel in that time, okay, Solomon had the ability to witness to literally millions. Millions of people. He could have been a bright and shining light for the Lord throughout the entire known world. Okay? But instead of him influencing the world for good, guess what happened? The evil influenced him instead. 1 Kings 11, 5-6, again, he followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Solomon, his witness was destroyed. Okay, instead of him influencing the world for good, the world influenced him for evil. And we find this righteous king that we read about only two chapters earlier, who loves the Lord, we find him worshiping false gods. All because of small compromises in his life. Solomon's compromise ultimately, as I told you before, always has consequences, okay? Every compromise has a consequence. Every choice has a consequence. And ultimately, Solomon's choice was devastating for his life and for his kingdom. Okay, when Solomon took the throne after David died, okay, the kingdom was on top of the world. One of the greatest kingdoms in history. All right? At the end of Solomon's reign, shortly after he passed away, the kingdom was split in two. It was torn out of Solomon's hands. God split it in two. Again, all because of compromise. See, as Solomon's witness became more and more compromised to those around him, as he compromised more and more on different things, God's hand, that hand that had once blessed and protected, steadily drew back. And by the time it was over, Solomon was surrounded on all sides by enemies. And as I told you before, eventually his kingdom would divide. Now, your witness today, and I've spoken to a few people, it's funny that we talked about this before church today. Your witness today is equally important. Okay? And let me tell you a little secret about your witness. Okay, your witness today is to the unbelieving world. Your witness is not primarily to your fellow believers in this church today. Okay? You have some influence upon this group, but your real witness, what really matters, is outside of these walls. Okay? Your witness today is incredibly important. You know, God is not looking for part-time followers. He's looking for full-time believers. Your witness cannot start and end on Sunday morning. That's not a witness. At the very best, that's a compromise witness. Okay? True wisdom is 7 days a week. Who you are on Sunday is who you are on Friday. Okay? It should not change. Should not change. You know, as we conclude this morning, would you stand with me this morning? And I want to share with you some real basic belief or real basic truths. I've been in the Old Testament all day today, so I want to go to the New Testament here for just a moment. And I want to share with you, though, some basic truths from the New Testament. This is out of Romans chapter 3. It says this in verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I know that for most people here today, you are picking up on the fact that life is about a lot more than just the daily grind. I hope that you understand that. Because life is a whole lot more than just the daily walk that we have to push through in our lives. Okay? Life is composed of infinitely more. And to those people, I hope that you've also understood that the only real purpose and significance that this life has to offer, the only real purpose is in a committed and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The rest of this stuff will all pass away. The Bible describes it as the flowers of the field. And as the midday sun comes out, they wither and die. And that is your life. You can't change it. Real purpose, though, will come from a committed and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only place, and that's what Paul's telling us here. Okay? Now, he goes on to say, there is no difference. For all, and all includes all of us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? You don't sit in here, guys, and I look around, and sometimes I catch people's eyes, and I think they're thinking to themselves, wow, I'm the only bad one here, aren't I? No, no. It said here, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Guys, just like you, I hope you picked up on the fact that it's not hard to realize that life's a lot more than just this daily grind. Okay? Please understand that every single one of us have fallen short in that process. Every single one of us have sinned. We have all compromised in some shape, form, or fashion. Okay? We've all compromised our wisdom by seeking after or treasuring things that God has told us are completely worthless. We've all compromised in that way. We've compromised our wisdom by not believing in the absolute promises that God has offered to us. You know, we've all compromised our walk by valuing temporary pleasures over eternal reward. And we've all compromised our witness by making our walk and our testimony a strictly Sunday affair. We've all been guilty of this. So what then are we to do? I've told you that Paul's words, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The great thing is there's not a period after that. There's a comma. Okay? This goes on. There's a second part. And that part is this. And are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. If I know nothing else about you, Christian brother and sister, it's this. That your relationship began the same way mine did. Okay? Because the only place you can go for redemption, the only place you can go for justification is to the cross of Christ. The only thing in this world that will ever redeem you or give purpose to your life is the blood of Christ. That's it. And it's true for every one of us today. Ultimately, what I want to share with you is this. Just like I told you as we began the church today, you get to make a choice when you come inside. You got to make a choice that I'm going to come in here and I'm going to praise my God and I'm going to hear what He has for me today. You got to make that choice. I hope you did. But I'm going to leave you with one other choice to make. Today is a day that you can choose to stop compromising. You can choose to say no to those small compromises in your life. Okay? If where you really want to be is next to your Lord and Savior, is right with Him, if that's really where your heart wants to be today, today is the day. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You this morning for Your wonderful word. Lord, I thank You for the ability that You've given each of us to dwell into Your thoughts and into Your heart. Lord, for that's exactly what this is. And in Your word, You have spelled out for us just great, great amounts of wisdom. And Lord, I apologize, Lord. I ask Your forgiveness for where it is that I just have completely ignored it. Lord, where it is that I have chosen instead to compromise. Lord, where it is that I've been found in complete rebellion against what You've directed. Lord, I ask for forgiveness for those things. Lord, I pray that this morning that You will give me the faith needed to choose to not compromise any further. Lord, to choose instead to be with You. To choose Your ways, which are higher than mine. Lord, I pray for that faith, because God, I don't have it on my own. I just don't have it. Lord, but I know that You've faithfully offered it. So Lord, I just this morning, Lord, I ask that You will let me receive it. Let me receive that Your faith, Lord, that would help me to choose to not compromise in my own life. God, and I pray the same prayer for this group of believers, for my family here this morning. That we will choose as a church, Lord, to not compromise. Lord, that we will choose as individuals to not compromise, as fathers in our family to not compromise. Lord, to find out what Your word says and to hold steadfast to Your truth. to have true wisdom, Lord, and not to operate in foolishness. God, we need you, though. We cannot do this alone. Lord, I pray again for your faith and for your grace upon our lives. Lord, as Ron spoke earlier, Lord, you do not hold that sin against us anymore. Lord, help us to see that. But Lord, help us to walk the right way. Help us to turn from it, Lord, to truly repent. Turn from it and walk towards you. Pray all these things in your name. Church, as the music plays this morning, I'm just going to tell you, the compromises in your life, they'll continue to lead you away from Him. They'll continue to lead you away from your God, from your peace, from your justification. They will destroy you. But today you can choose otherwise.